This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Chad Daybell flipped on Lori Vallow in the past couple of weeks, blaming her for basically everything. It was my wife's fault. She told me to do it. What exactly it means, they walk right up to the line of not quite saying I murdered the kids, but it was her fault. I wouldn't do anything without her telling me to do so. All in an effort to try and save his own life. Chad Daybell, number one, I get it. They're vigorously defending their client, and they're going to say anything that they need to try and get death off of the table. That seems to be the main goal at this moment in time. Here to discuss, Bob Motta, defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries. What do you think? Is this a strong enough argument for them to say, yeah, you know what? You don't deserve death.
I mean, if we're talking about them trying to give him a plea where they take death off the table, maybe in terms of getting a jury, if they refuse to take it off the table, if you're going to be able to get a jury to be convinced of it, I think when you have this many deaths attributed to these two people, that they're not going to care who the mastermind was. And, you know, and Allison and I, my wife, who co-hosts the docket with me, we did a very comprehensive, really very excellent coverage of that trial as we were listening to the testimony and then playing clips and going through it. And my theory all along was that Lori was the absolute puppet master. Like there were the people that said it was Chad. I'm like, nah. I'm like, I've seen this woman before. This woman was looking for a Chad forever, you know, and she was running through husbands in order to find one. And then she finally found this guy, like, cause he's like a gump. He's like, he's just like, he's not a bright guy, you know, like he doesn't strike me as any, like he is not an alpha. Like, and Lori, in my estimation, was running circles around him, and everything that she wanted done, she orchestrated by having Chad and her brother acting as the henchman, you know? And that's how I felt about it all along. So I think that there's a lot of truth to what he's saying.
Yeah.
I don't think this is cooked up. I think that he's being honest that he, you know, she did use, you know, her feminine wiles and, you know, and sex in order to control him and to get him to do the things that she wanted him to do. And, you know, ultimately the question then becomes, does it matter?
And does it? I mean, just the fact of putting it out there in this statement when they're trying to get death taken off the table that, look, Lori was the ringleader behind all that, and Chad would not act without Lori, you know, telling him what to do. I'm paraphrasing what was said in that document. But just the fact that was said out loud, does that not pretty much say guilt? That, I mean, the question of did he murder, was he involved in the conspiracy to murder these children? Isn't that almost an act of admission right there by saying, yeah, but Lori's the one who told him to?
Yeah, it is 100%. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the analysis then becomes, are they putting this out there in order to entice the state to take death off the table?
Sure.
Wherein Chad will then take a plea.
Yeah, just take the trial out of the equation.
Yeah, because at trial, you know, if the state's not going to be willing to do that, I don't think a jury's going to care. I don't think that they're going to care that Chad was, you know, smitten and bewildered and, you know, under the spell of Lori. They're not going to care because he did what he did, which resulted in two beautiful kids being killed amongst other people, you know, and they're not going to care that it was Lori that was the one who was, you know, manipulating him to do it. Like, they're just, the jury's not going to care, which again, just leads me to believe that the timing of this in terms of him deciding, okay, you know, I'm going to come clean with this thing. And like, it was all her. Like, you know, I was just like she had me wrapped around her little finger, and, you know, I was like just not able to say no to her, you know, no matter what the ask was. And, you know, I mean, maybe that's enough to compel the state. You know, ultimately the state is going to have to decide, you know, and it hurts him so much that they lost the ability to have the death penalty in Lori's case.
Yeah.
Had they been able to have that be a death penalty type case, and had she received the death penalty, I think that Chad would have had a much greater chance of getting a plea offer of, okay, we're taking death off the table, where she escaped that because of the state's slow play on the discovery, amongst other things. You know, I think that put the state in a tough position to where they want somebody to pay the ultimate price on this thing. And I think that's an expectation of probably, you know, maybe the Woodcocks, maybe others, in terms of surviving family members, in terms of what they think is just punishment for this. So, I mean, it's interesting, you know, but like at the end of the day, like me, and I'm just saying it because it completely supports the theory that I opined when I was covering the case, and I was adamant about it. And it was always interesting because people would be like, oh, I'm on Team Allie with this, or I'm on Team Bob, you know, and I was always adamant that Lori was the run. She was running the game. Like I could see it, you know, as clear as day, that she talk about a narcissist.
Yeah.
And like, she's like her and Donna can start like the most horrific narcissistic women in the history of the world type club. And, you know, be the president and co-president of that club with no problem, because they both were incredibly narcissistic people.
Is there any advantage to the state trying to give or offering Chad a plea deal? Is there any reason why they would want to do that other than just trying to save money?
Save money.
Yeah.
Cash. Yeah. Like, like if you just look at it, it is exponentially more expensive to execute somebody than it is to keep them in prison for the entirety of lives. It's just, that's factual. It's not me guessing that.
Just
Google it. They'll break the numbers down. It's very expensive. It saves them the cost of that, which is 15 years of appeals, mm-hmm. which all cost money for the taxpayers. Top of the trial itself, you know, which 4 or 5 week trial, you got teams of prosecutors and law enforcement and everybody still working this case. And that all costs money.
Sure.
You know? Oh yeah. I mean, but the political side of it is always something that you have to factor in as well. And politics always have a role in decisions like this, you know? So yeah, I mean, there is certainly an advantage to him pleading out. They're done with it, you know, and wash their hands of it. And frankly, I think you and I have had this discussion. There's nothing worse than being stuck in a 6x6 cell for your entire life. I don't care. Like, death is the easy way out. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, you're letting them off the hook.
Yeah.
Like, and yes, people will adapt to their surroundings, but to be deprived of every simple pleasure that the rest of us all enjoy and all take for granted every single day, mm-hmm. even the most minute thing, you know, that like you'll never be able to do again while you're in prison, like you're stripping that away from somebody, it's torturous.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you're really, to me, there's no harsher punishment than keeping somebody in a cage for their entire life with no hope of ever getting out. You know, it's
one more question on this, just for you to speculate on and give your opinion. When Lori found this news out that Chad was flipping on her, number one, do you think she is competent enough to understand that is what in fact is happening? Or do you think it was one of those things where, as she has with everything else, she found some way to rationalize this in Lori crazy land as to why it's God's will and it's happening?
I think that she thought that Chad was a true believer, mm-hmm. but I don't think that it changes her perspective as to what she believes is going to happen at all.
Yeah.
Which is that she believes that the end of times is coming and that she's chosen and, you know, she's going to be good when this thing all shakes out and, you know, the world comes to an end. Like, I think that does not change. I don't think that Chad talked her into believing that. I think that has been a belief of hers forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, she found a guy that basically was echoing her sentiments. And, you know, because it's like Alice and I got into that entire aspect of it, like with the darkness scale.
Yeah.
Like who's the one who was dictating what the number was? Was it Chad coming up with the number and then Lori saying, I think you're a little bit off on that one, big guy. You know, like this is the number that person, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think it's going to, like, Chad was way more in love with Lori than Lori was with Chad.
Yeah.
Is my estimation on it. So I don't think it changes a thing for Lori, to be honest with you. It
makes me wonder if she's going to flip on him in her upcoming murder trial in Arizona. Obviously, she didn't want anything negative said about Chad in the last one. It makes you wonder, are we going to go down some of those roads in this round two for her?
Yeah, I mean, look, like when that didn't work, you know, like in terms of trial strategy, you know, because like to me, the most fascinating aspect when you take a strip away the horror of the case and you're looking at it just from a strictly legal perspective and factoring in that Idaho does not have an insanity defense available to defendants there. They do have one niche that they've carved out wherein, you know, you have the ability to be able to attack what they call the mens rea portion of the statute, meaning that, you know, if they can't, and she wouldn't allow her lawyers to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Spoke volumes to me, like where she wasn't going to allow her lawyers to get her forensically examined by a psychologist or a psychiatrist to get on the stand and say, okay, Lori actually believes, like wholeheartedly actually believes in her mind that those were no longer human beings, that they weren't her children, that they were demons.
Yeah.
Like in her mind. And statutorily, when you're attacking the mens rea portion, the intent portion, you have to be in a homicide statute, you have to be intentionally killing a human being. So if they would have been able to attack that, now would a jury have bought it? No, because juries just don't buy the insanity defense in this country, which is to me a mistake. There are people that are mentally ill to that extent to where they just don't think like we think. Things that are going on in their minds are as real as, you know, things that actually are real in their minds. You know, I mean, it could be a complete fiction, but in their mind, it's total reality. You know, it's like you think about people with paranoid schizophrenia that are, you know, running around because they think that people are trying to kill them. In their minds, those people who are probably just a waiter in a restaurant and has no ill will at all, in their mind, they think that person actually is trying to kill them, you know, and it's very real for them. So, I mean, that kind of mental illness is a thing that does exist in the world. Sure. It's not acknowledged in the criminal justice system. And it's less acknowledged by jurors. Like they want to hold people responsible for the things that they do. Like no one that has suffered no kind of mental illness to where they've lost control of their mind and their mind is thinking things that they have no control over, or they're hearing voices or whatever the case may be. If you haven't experienced that, it's very difficult for us to imagine a world in which that can actually happen to where you've lost control of your faculties and you're no longer able to make sense of what's real and what's not real, you know? So it's just a very tough sell for jurors to buy that. And especially because ultimately at the end of the day, what resonates with the jurors is, okay, we're basically saying that they're not guilty by reason of insanity, which means that we're not going to be holding them responsible for their actions. And that is a super huge bitter pill for jurors to swallow.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.